today on A Word to Live By.
Let's reflect that. Mary's faith. Mary believed. Joseph obeyed. Let's reflect that. Let's reflect the story of Christ, the birth. Let's reflect the Christmas story.
The characters of the Christmas story are familiar to most of us, but did you know that many of them embody a quality that we are to reflect? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares several of these in part one of Reflecting the Christmas Story.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.
You hear me often talk about how God has called us to reflect Him and to reflect His glory. And I've seen what I've seen all my life through the Christmas story. And I say, let's reflect that. Let's reflect the story. Let's reflect the coming. Let's reflect the miracle. Let's reflect the life of Christ. Let's reflect it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Let's reflect that. Let's reflect the whole thought of an angel coming to Mary in Luke chapter 1. Let's think about that for a moment. When that angel came and appeared, she was startled, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. I'm bringing good news for you. And the good news is that you're going to bear a son. And this son is going to be, he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. And his reign will have absolutely no end." And scripture says that she asked the question, well, how can this be? How will this take place? Because I'm a virgin. And by, you know, she doesn't say this, but she just knows it in her heart. And by the way, I'm going to stay a virgin until I'm married. How can this be? How will this happen? How will this take place? And the angel says to her in Luke chapter 1, that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And this seed, this child, will be the Holy One of Israel. And even, she says, and he says, and even your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived. She's pregnant. Well, Mary hears that and she runs to her relative. She runs to her cousin to celebrate, perhaps. To celebrate something so impossible, something so in our minds, so unreasonable, something so fantastic that my cousin, my relative Elizabeth in her old age is pregnant and I in my virginity is pregnant by God. And she runs to this place. And look at the story. It's Luke chapter 1. She runs to see her cousin. And what I love about this whole passage is that when he says, behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. Look at verse 37 if you've turned there yet. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Here is this word. The word came to Zacharias. Your wife in her old age will have a child. This angel comes to Mary and says this impossible word. The impossible word that says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Yes, even while you're a virgin. Because nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. A few years ago, I opened my Greek stuff, you know, and just kind of looked at these words. And do you know what the word nothing means? Literally, it's two words. And this is what he says. No word will be impossible with God. No word. And when you look at the word, there's two words in the Greek language. One is logos. It's the whole counsel of God. That's what logos is. And the Bible says, and the logos became flesh and dwelt among us. And then there's this really special word called rhema. That specific word. You know, it's that specific word that God gives to you in that moment. It's that specific word, and maybe you've read the Bible all your life. Maybe you've read passages all your life, and then one day you open up to something that you've read all your life. Maybe this story today, and all of a sudden God comes along and he gives you that special word, that special promise. And what that word is he'll say, listen, when God speaks and when God says he'll do something, he will do that something. No word will be impossible with God. She runs to Elizabeth, and when she sees, I'm jumping ahead again. Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done according to your rhema, according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Before behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her. No word. It's impossible with God. Let's reflect that this year. Let's reflect, knowing that we have in our hands this word from God, this Bible, these scriptures, that God speaks to us. Some of us who look for a word day and night, some of us who study, some of us who want to hear from God, hopefully all of us, that special word that God comes along and says, this is what I'm going to do in your life. This is what I offer you. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm giving you. In your chaos, I have peace. And you may have chaos for another week, 2 weeks, month, but I want to say this, when God says you'll have peace, you'll have peace. You look at it and you say, oh, that's just impossible. No, you'll have peace even in your chaos. Even in your struggle. Even in your heartache. Even in your heartache, I'll give you joy. Even in your heartache, I'll give you gladness. Even in your disappointments, I'll give you gladness.
I'll do this work in your life. How about the day we believe that Jesus came and he died just for us, and we put our faith and we believe that? That impossible word, that impossible promise that says that I will save you. Impossible why? Because you could do nothing on your own to earn that salvation. But God comes along and says, hey, no word is impossible to God. What about the word that comes along and says, hey, and I thought this for a few years. I thought, I walked the aisle one day, I prayed a prayer, I received Christ, and I meant it, and it happened in my life. But thought, somehow, some way, it stopped with all of that. But our salvation is so much more than the beginning. It's the journey, and it's the journey toward the ending of it. And the ending of it is that he promises that he will conform us into his image. Let's reflect that kind of faith. When I think of Mary, I think about her life, and just as a Jewish woman, a daughter of faith, a daughter of Israel, a daughter of Abraham. And Paul would come along and say, you are sons and daughters of Abraham. Wow. Us, Gentiles? Yes. Why? Because we have the same kind of faith that Abraham had. I've mentioned this in passing and for a couple of times over the last month. But Paul says this, that Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteous. What did he believe? He believed that God was truly going to do what he says he's going to do. When God said, I will give you a son through Sarah in her old age. And he comes to this point, maybe 15, 20, 25 years later, after God started speaking to him, and finally he got it. Finally, he believed. And you find it in Genesis 15. The Bible says, then he believed in God, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. What did he believe? He believed this impossible word. This impossible word. That his wife would have a baby. And Paul would say, you know, he'd look at his body. He's waiting, and he looks at his body and said, it's dead. In Sarah's womb, dead. And so he's looking at the way things are. But then he says, in respect to the promise of God, and that's where our eyes must be. Not on the stuff, not on the failure, not on the slowness of the promises of God that we look at our lives. Not at the slowness of healing, not at the slowness of the things that are happening, but in respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in faith, but he grew strong, believing this, that God is the God who calls into being that which does not exist. He calls into being that which does not exist, and that he gives life to the dead. You know that Paul spoke of this whole thought of calling things into existence with Abraham when he first believed. I mean, again, he's believing that God's going to call into existence this child from the deadness of his wife's womb. And then several years later, when God says, that same baby, I want him, take him to the mount that I'll show you, and you offer him as a sacrifice to me. And he takes that 3 days journey, and he goes up that hill, and he places that child, that son, who was the promise, this promised son that he believed. And you know what Paul says? He even believed that not only would God call him, but God would raise him from the dead. That's what that's all about. Let's reflect that. Let's look at our lives and where they are. Some of us are struggling. Some of us are hurting. Some of us have been struggling with sin and stuff and junk. And some of us have been doing that for years. Some of us weeks, months, seasonally we struggle. Let's believe that the Prince of Peace is here right now, making all those things right. Let's believe that. Let's look at our lives. Yeah, look at him saying, good is dead. But in respect to the promise of God, he promises. And what he promises, he will fulfill. Do you know what she says? What Elizabeth says? She says, you know why Mary was blessed? Because she believed that there'd be a fulfillment of God's word. Listen, when you believe and you are believing, you are
blessed. And you can live in a hovel. You can live in a hut and know that you're blessed because you're believing the promises of God. Let's believe that. Let's believe that God heals the wound of this year, last year, 2 years ago. Let's believe that God not only heals it, but He's already done it. And all we have to do is believe it and get in on it. Let's believe that He heals addictions. Let us believe that He heals depression. Let us believe that He heals fear and worry and anxiety, and that He takes away anger and He takes away unforgiveness, that He takes away those things. Let's believe the awesome, impossible promises of God. Let's reflect that. Mary's faith. Mary believed. Joseph obeyed. Joseph obeyed. Mary believed. Joseph obeyed. Let's reflect that. That's the second reflection of the Christmas story. Mary believes the impossible promise. He's blessed. But then you've got old Joseph. Poor Joseph is finding out some things that he doesn't understand. His betrothed is pregnant. And he knows he's not the daddy. He knows that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18, his story. We're going to just kind of move through this really quick. Look at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who's been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You'll call him Jesus. Jesus, Savior, is what that means. When you go to the Old Testament, you see Joshua, Savior. You will name him Jesus, Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. And all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin will be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Say, well, wait a minute, Emmanuel, Jesus. If you got Jesus, you got Emmanuel. You got God with us. If you got God with us, you got the saving work of Jesus in your heart. You know what the Bible says? That Joseph got up and did what God asked him to do. Let's live that. Let's live that. Let's not just think about, well, I'm going to need 5 weeks to think about whether I'm going to do what God asked me to do. No, he gets up immediately. He gets up from that dream and decides immediately to take Mary as his wife. And he's going to name him Jesus. That's what he's going to do. He's going to do exactly what God asked him and told him to do. Let's reflect that. Let's reflect the story of Christ, the birth. Let's reflect Mary's belief and Joseph's obedience, his courageous obedience. I mean, when he starts telling friends and telling people that she's pregnant by God, they're going to laugh at him. They're going to call him a sucker. They're going to call him somebody that's been duped. Come on. It took courage to obey. It takes courage to do the right thing. It does. Sometimes as a husband and wife in a hard relationship, sometimes, listen to me, it takes courage to do what God's asked us to do. If you're struggling in a marriage, if you're struggling in a relationship, it takes courage to go to that person. It takes courage to forgive. It takes courage to release. It takes courage to forget. But let's do that. Let's reflect that this year. Let's make a point right now to say we're going to believe that God's going to do what He said He's going to do in us individually, corporately, as the church called Cottonwood. Let's just believe that what He's called us to, He's going to fulfill. And then let us be courageous and bold to do what God's asked us to do as a result of our faith in Him. Let's reflect that. So who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to bless? Who do I need to stop talking about? Who do I need to encourage?
What do I start? What do I have to? What am I supposed to be giving right now? What am I supposed to be giving? Whether it's finances or my gifts or my talents, let's just be obedient. Supernatural things happen when we are believing and obedient. It's the great hymn that says, trust and what? Obey. Folks, obey is not a bad word. It is a great word. Especially if you're a wife waiting for a husband to obey. Isn't that a great word? Or vice versa. Or a church that sees people raised up to exercise their gifts because God is asking that. Let's reflect the Christmas story. Let's believe like Mary and obey like Joseph. Third reflection, shepherds. We know the story. There's shepherds out in, back in Luke in chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And the word to the shepherds are, listen, there's something fabulous and great happening right now. Run to it. Run to it. And they do. That's what they do. They run to it. They go to it. And then they speak the wonders of what they've heard. And here's the thought. Here's my thought. Let's just go where God sends us. If God says, I'm doing a great work over here, let's go look for it. I'm doing a great work in this family. Let's go check it out in that family. Let's just, if we hear things going on, and you pick up the phone and say, I hear that there's some great things happening in your life. I want to sit down with you and I want to hear that. Let's go to where God's working. Let's go to where God's moving. Because I'm going to tell you, God's moving in that manger, is he not? And there's shepherds seeing this great scene of angels declaring it. And what do? They run. They run to see. They run to see. Let's look back over our lives this week, this year. And ask the question, am I believing like Mary? Do I have this faith in him of what he says? Am I obeying? Am I listening to the voice of God and just responding? And I'm responding immediately to that. That's what they do. They respond immediately to what God says. When God says, pick up the phone and call that person, pick up the phone and call that person. When the prompting comes to put a note out or a letter out, do that. And talks to that person about, hey, you need to. There's some things that they need, and I'm asking you to provide it. You do it. You run to it. You respond faithfully, like shepherds did. Third reflection. Wise men. Wise men. I want you to turn back to Matthew. Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And then when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for that this is what has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Well, you know what Herod secretly calls the Magi, says, listen, if when you find him, let me know about it because I want to come worship him. And he's lying because he's saying, I want to kill him. There's not going to be any king but me here. And thus, later on, you'll have the slaughter of the innocents. Babies 2 years and under killed in a bloodbath, thinking they're going to get Jesus. The scripture says that after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures, and they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. You know, wise men, when they sought Jesus, they sought not to get, but to give. They sought not to get, but to give. Let's reflect this year. Because we live in a culture that we want to get, not give. You know, how do we give? How do we give? We give first and best. Isn't that what Jesus did, what God did? When he sent his son, he gave his first, only son, right? Only God. He gave his first son, firstborn, and he gave his best. Okay? And we're to reflect that in our giving. These wise men didn't come for a word. They came to give. They came to worship, and they came to give. And I find it so interesting that when we look at our prayers about wanting God, of how much it has to do with our comfort and what we get as opposed to what we give. Another way that God says to give is to give as you've purposed in your heart, cheerfully, to give that. And as you go out and as you see people or you think of people or you're in line at Walmart and you see somebody and they're wondering if they have enough. Saw somebody like that this week. Or you're in a restaurant and somebody's waiting on you. Or you've got somebody in mind right now. I want to give this to you. Give it. And watch and ask God to show you what God's doing as a result of that. Ask God, what would you have me be this year? What would you have us be as we believe like Mary, as we obey like Joseph, as we respond like shepherds, and as we give like wise men and women? Let's reflect the Christmas story. Let's reflect it. And let this be just a metaphor or a reflection of what we're supposed to do. Listen to me. The rest of our lives. So that we are givers. Now, Jesus said that when you give to the least of these, you've done it unto him. So, 2,000 years ago, wise men came and they gave their treasures. They gave them their treasures. Is that right? And 2,000 years later, we get to give to Jesus by giving to the least of these. So when you're given, you might come across a least of these. And you'll know it. And you'll give it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for Christmas story. We want to ask, Lord, that this year we would believe like Mary. Lord, there are some things going on in some of our lives that when we look from the human standpoint, it is impossible. But yet you say you'll set us free. You said you'll give us the power. You said you'll provide what we need. Let us believe that. And let us be courageous to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit like Joseph and respond immediately like shepherds and give like wise magi. And I pray, God, that we would see this most significant work in our lives. I pray, God, that you would make God encounters. Encounters that we know is God. God encounters. That God led us together. Lord, I envision, Lord, giving money and then finding someone who's hurting and we pray for them. Oh God, anoint the time, anoint our minds, anoint our hearts, lead us. May this be a revival today of generosity, of stewardship, of obedience, of lordship. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to move. And I just ask God that you'd bless the gift and you'd bless the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org.
Proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.